We are joined right now by a senior writer at ESPN and Outside the Lines. His latest piece is the story behind the split of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots. It is a tremendous read. Seth Wickersham is my guest. Seth, it is good to have you back in the jungle. How are you?
Hey, Jim. It's great to be here. Longtime fan.
I know. Great to have you back, Seth. Me too. Mutual respect to you. So you've got this great piece up right now about the relationship between Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots. You make the point that this is not something that just happened last week. It's been a long time in the making. So if you could, Seth, go back. Go way back. November 2001, you and Brady had a meeting at the old Foxborough Stadium. What were your impressions of Brady at that time?
Yeah, well, we met and, you know, we were both about a year out of college and that was a slight bond. And the thing that struck me was just how much confidence he had in the ability to play football. He said, you know, the game has always come easy to me. And that was surprising because, you know, he's a sixth round pick. And then the second thing that struck me was just how deeply he cared about his craft in a way that I thought was different than other people. It almost felt like there was an element of self-actualization that the game brought to him. And as we were leaving, he looked at the stadium, Gillette Stadium, which was under construction. He looked over at it and he said, you know, I hope I get to play there one day. And it's crazy to think about now that, you know, way back when he was thinking about, you know, will I even have a chance to play in that stadium? It's a crazy contrast to think about now in respect to where he is.
No question. Seth Wickersham is joining us. So, Seth, the root of the split between Brady and the Patriots, of course, does not go all the way back to 2001. Before we get into the moments where that relationship started to fray permanently, how would you describe the relationship between Brady and Belichick when it was at its very best? I mean, were they ever especially close?
Well, they were close business associates. And, you know, it was always a business relationship with them. And it's one of the things that Bill Belichick has been so successful at is separating the personal relationship from the business relationship. And he has, you know, done it ruthlessly on a level that no head coach has ever done it. And that was always going to create a tension with Tom Brady's stated goal of playing until he was in his mid-40s. He started doing that about a decade ago. I mean, it sounds crazy. Maybe not quite a decade ago, but he started doing it a while ago. And at the time, I think, even people in the building didn't think that he was going to play until he was in his mid-40s, that they would never have to cross that bridge. But sure enough, I mean, he got better. The Patriots were looking, you know, beyond Tom Brady in 2013, even in 2014 when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. But Tom got better. And there was always going to be an inherent tension between Bill Belichick's genius and knowing when to move on from a guy, never paying for past performance, and Tom Brady's longevity. You know, his dad once told me he's going to be a modern-day George Blanda. That's how he's handled his career, and it was always going to be a problem in New England.
We are talking to Seth Wickersham. All right, Seth, so there are a bunch of bumpy moments, such as Deflategate, the TB12 method issues, but if you had to point to a moment or a time when it started to fracture, when would you say that was, and what was it about?
Well, I think that there was, like, a lot of things over the course of 20 years. It's kind of amazing that it lasted that long, but I think that, you know, you go back to the fall of 2017. There were some issues in the building surrounding, you know, the TB12 method at his business and Alex Guerrero, his trainer. But, you know, at the heart of what Tom Brady wanted at that time was a contract extension. He wanted a commitment, and he preferred it to be with the Patriots, but if they didn't want to commit to him, I think he was okay leaving. He just wanted some clarity. And that issue never went away. It continued into August of 2018. Remember, he skipped the entire offseason program. And then August of 2019, last August, he reportedly almost left camp because he was so frustrated with the way the contract negotiations were going. And so I think that when that happened and he was able to void out of his contract this year and everybody knew it, I think that that's the opportunity that he exploited. And so, you know, when you ask, like, you know, what have been the issues? There have been some bumps in the road, but at the end of the day, it was the same thing. He wanted a commitment to from whatever team he was playing for that would allow him to play until he was in his mid-40s, and the Patriots were only willing to go year to year.
Seth Wickersham is joining us. You know, so you also make the point, Seth, that Brady wanted to feel valued. He wanted to love the work that he was doing. And at the risk of getting way too deep into the psychology of all this, is Belichick unable to do that? Or is Belichick simply unwilling to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's unwilling to. I think that he you know, it'll be a question that I'll try to answer at some point, but, you know, when he learned the discipline to just be emotionless in terms of how he would deal with current players on the roster and, you know, how he took that to an extreme is a fascinating story. I don't know exactly when it happened for him, but because of it, you know, Brady was always a special case. We all knew that. I mean, he'd always talk about, you know, how he's just another Patriot and Belichick would coach him like he's just another Patriot, but everybody knew that he was a little bit different, right? I mean, he'd negotiate contracts like he did in 2013 alone with Robert Kraft on a plane from Boston to L.A. But at the end of the day, Robert Kraft was the one who was going to let Bill Belichick drive the negotiations here, and Bill was only willing to go to year to year. He's never going to pay for past performance. And even though we were warned over the years, I mean, Tom Brady Sr. has been very clear that it was going to end poorly in New England. I think everybody thought that it might not, that there might be another exception here for him, and there just wasn't.
We are talking to Seth Wickersham. So, Seth, go to Bob Kraft for a minute. You brought him up. When he says that Brady came to his house last week and, quote, "I thought he was coming over, as he has for the last 10 years, to quietly get things done," end quote, what do you make of that comment? I mean, do you think that he actually believed that that was going to happen, or is he just trying to put a nice spin on it?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of both there. I thought that the thing that was interesting about it was that he had, you know, found a way through media channels to make clear that Bill was going to be the one driving this negotiation. And, you know, there's a lot of people who took that as he's putting this thing in Belichick's lap so that, you know, people blame him when Tom leaves. That's a level of detail I don't quite have yet, but I thought it was a very revealing comment. And whether it was spin or whether he, you know, was doing it as a way to kind of absolve himself of it, we'll see. I just don't know.
Seth Wickersham is joining us. He's a senior writer at ESPN and Outside the Lines. His latest piece is the story behind the split of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots. He joins us for a few more moments. You know, Seth, in terms of other strange psychological moments, how do you explain the connection between Tom Brady and Antonio Brown, given all of Brown's truly troubling behavior?
Truly troubling. And I thought that was one of the most interesting things, is that, you know, when the Patriots lost Rob Gronkowski, they lost this matchup nightmare. I mean, nobody could cover that guy, even when they put two players on him. And so it left a huge hole in the offense. And the Patriots filled it with Antonio Brown, who had just been released from Oakland and, you know, had a bunch of bizarre behavior there. Brady takes him under his wing. I was startled with how close they were. I mean, you know, Antonio Brown was living at Brady's house, and it only lasts one game. And I think that that was like another moment that just showed that this thing, you know, was just not going to work. I mean, I think that Bill wanted to keep Antonio Brown, even though at the end it appeared to be that he was on board with releasing him after, you know, Brown went off the rails after only being in New England for 2 weeks. But I think that, you know, that relationship to me has always been a little bit of a mystery. And I think that at the end of the day, Tom thought that, you know, look, if I keep this guy under my wing, yeah, he's troubled, but I can keep him close to me. He can produce on the field, and we'll have a pretty dynamic offense. Antonio Brown gets released, and you just saw the Patriots struggle to get open. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of spin that comes out of New England that, you know, everything that they struggle with on offense is always the surrounding cast. It's never Tom Brady. I mean, some of the coaches who looked at Tom Brady and evaluated him, you know, didn't necessarily agree with that all the time. But, you know, robbed the Patriots of a matchup nightmare, and I think that it's fair to say that a lot of their receivers struggled to get open, and the Patriots just weren't as difficult to defend this year. I mean, he told NBC at the middle of the year, "I'm the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the NFL." That was a startling and revealing comment.
It was. Seth Wickersham is joining us. I'm picking my spot, Seth, because you've been so good with your time. What is your sense of how the Patriots would evaluate Brady internally right now? What kind of conversations would they have, and what do they think about him right now in terms of playing?
Well, I don't know exactly how they feel about every throw that he could make, but clearly they value him as a year-to-year quarterback because that's what they offered him. And that, to me, says it all. I mean, Ian O'Connor, my colleague, wrote in his book Belichick that came out, I think, 2 years ago, he quoted one of the coaches saying, like, look, I think we could win games with any of 15 top quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, we know that there wouldn't be Hall of Famers, but we think we could make it work. And the genius of the Patriots has always been finding a winning game plan no matter who's on the roster. I mean, we've seen it happen time and time and time again. Brady was always the exception to that. He was a backstop. He was the guy who could, you know, cover up for everybody's mistakes, five Super Bowl wins where they were trailing or tied in the fourth quarter. But clearly, I think that Rams Super Bowl, I think that very last one, showed the Patriots that we can win a Super Bowl with the offense, you know, not playing at top form. We don't need 30 points out of an offense to win a Super Bowl. And maybe that provided a little bit of a template and a relief for them going forward, saying like, hey, we value him as a year-to-year quarterback, even if what he wants is a two-year commitment with, you know, no trade and no qualifiers.
And then, Seth, one final question. Ultimately, what is your sense as to what's driving and motivating Brady in the move to Tampa? In other words, is it to win another ring? Is it to prove Belichick and the Patriots wrong? Or is it something else?
Well, and that's fascinating. I mean, nobody really knows what motivates these truly elite athletes. Like, I remember I once watched the Kobe Bryant documentary, and I asked Brady, you know, hey, does that reflect you? Because it was a real amazing insight into how great athletes prepare. And Brady was like, ah, he's the Mamba. Like, it didn't really have anything to do with him. And so what's driving him? I don't know, but I think that it's the same thing that was driving him back when I met with him in November of 2001. I think that there's just an element of testing himself and self-actualization and what can he accomplish. I think that, you know, Jeff Darlington, my colleague who's been all over this, said it really well. He said, look, Brady's not necessarily looking to resume pad. And that was an amazing statement, because you just think, like, it's a race to a seventh ring. Tom Brady, if he's been about anything, it's been about winning each and every time out. And, you know, but maybe there's some truth to that. I mean, maybe he adjusts some expectations for these last couple of years, and he wants something just different out of football than what he's had for the previous 20. You know, we'll see. If the Bucs start 1-4, we'll see. I don't know. But that's what I think right now.
He is the excellent senior writer at ESPN and Outside the Lines. His latest piece is a tremendous read. The story behind the split of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots. Seth, it had been a moment or two, but great to have you back on the show. Always good to get caught up with you, and that's a great piece. Thanks for sharing it.
Thanks, man.
Take care, Seth. Really good journal. Really, really good. That's a great read and a great piece.